I'm sitting here with Sarah Kroger Bickliffe, Accrington's mayoress, and the youngest one at that, doing a little podcast for Acorn News. Good afternoon, Sarah.
Good afternoon.
Right, so first of all, let's go back to when you were a little girl, and what's your first memories, and what about your family and everything? You could tell me about your young life.
First memories, probably fighting with my brothers. That's probably the first memories I have, because I have two older brothers. Mm-hmm. And there's just me, the girl, and my eldest, Alexander, I used to get on with really well, but Dominic, because he was a middle child and I was the youngest, we used to fight a lot. So I do remember throwing tangerines up and down the stairs at him and then going to my dad and being like, Dominic, Dominic's done it, Dominic's drawn on the walls, Dominic's done this.
And of course, being the baby of the family.
Yeah, I got away with it, yeah. And they always got into trouble for it. That's
good plan.
Yeah, still do it now.
So you had obviously a happy childhood then.
Yeah, definitely.
And what primary school did you attend?
Moor End in Oswald Twistle. Yeah, it was a great primary school, really good. Loved it. We did the Maypole. They still do it, actually, because we attended it this year. I remember doing the Maypole there. And, yeah, it was really good. Yeah. Still is a great school.
Yeah, I remember Moor End school. I used to go to St Mary's, but it was at the bottom of Moscow Mill Street.
All right.
And I used to have a breakfast, walk out to my door in Accrington, walk down the street, and go to school in Oswald Twistle.
Yeah.
Because it was just at the bottom of the street. And we used to go and play football at Moor End. They've got
huge fields, haven't they, just behind it?
Yeah, they have. It's brilliant.
St Andrews. Yeah.
So that was Moor End. What sort of student were you as a little girl?
I still do musical theatre. So I loved acting, singing, dancing. So I remember me and my friends, we made a band in year 4 or 5, and if they had like a carnival or the fair at school, we used to always sing and do a little dance or something and make up a routine to do. So yeah, I was very into music when I was at school. I think I was a good student, to be honest.
Oh, good. Yeah. And then from Moor End, what
did to St Christopher's.
St Christopher's, St Christopher's. Yeah. That's massive now, isn't it?
St Christopher's, they've got the sixth form now, they've built the sixth form, and I went to the sixth form after I finished the school as well. Yeah, St Christopher's was an amazing school.
Yeah, so that was when, obviously, you'd start thinking about what you wanted to do when you left school and things. So, and did you have a good group of friends there as well?
Yeah, really good. I'm still friends with them.
That helps, because if you're a loner or if you get bullied, it's horrible at school. If you've got a good friend, it's brilliant.
At St Christopher's, they didn't allow that anyway. You didn't see it because if it happened, they targeted it straight away. St Christopher's was brilliant with stuff like that. It was an environment where you couldn't get away with doing things like that to other people.
No, that's good. So, that's what it should be like.
And it's still like that, I think. It was a great school.
An excellent school then.
Yeah.
And what did you leave achieving? You know, did you get plenty of all levels?
GCSEs, yeah, I did. I got some good GCSEs, and then I went on to the sixth form and got good A-level results, enough to get into the University of Manchester. So,
right.
Yeah.
Which is where you are now, but you're having a gap year.
Because I was supposed to move to Germany this September to work over there as part of my year, as part of my university degree. And I was supposed to move to Germany for 6 months and then Barcelona for 6 months after to work.
Wow.
So I've had to take a year out, and then I'll move there next September.
So that sounds quite international. What sort of thing are you going to do when
you're studying languages?
Leave college, leave university. So you're studying languages.
So I'm studying German, Spanish, and Catalan at university. But because it's languages, you can basically go into anything with languages. It's such a great subject to study. But at the moment, I'm thinking that I'd like to do something with translation.
Right.
Maybe lawyers' documents or something like that. I haven't fully decided yet.
So you could go into the law then. That's your idea.
Yeah.
But like you said, because you can translate things and you can actually speak different languages, it helps with anything.
Definitely.
I suppose Brexit's a bit of a pain in the butt then, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. I did vote to remain.
So I mean, you know, I mean, and open Europe was always a good thing.
I think
that people. Taking a few opportunities away, hasn't it?
Especially from young people, I feel that it has. And people that are doing the same degree subject as me, it will close a few doors for us, and it'll make it harder to do our subject or get further with, so get a job in that field, really. It will make it a little bit harder. But
so actually going to be a solicitor eventually, or
I don't know yet. I've got another 2 years, but I'm leaning towards doing a year after where you can do like a intense law. So I might do an intense law course and then do languages with that.
So you'll keep your options open until the time of
until
you really
something
need to
clicks
decide.
In my head that that's what I want to do. I'm keeping my options open.
That's good. Yeah. So at uni, I mean, there's a lot of things said about uni, like you work 10 hours a week and you party the rest of the time. I don't know if that's true or not, but
For me, it wasn't true.
No.
Just because mine's a joint honours, so it's really 2 degrees in one.
Yeah.
And the thing with languages is you don't go to lectures and that's it. You just write things down and you don't just have coursework to hand in. You actually have work that has to be in every day for the teachers to mark. So it's kind of like homework with languages. And you had something in every day for the next day to go to these lessons. Otherwise, you would, because you have to keep studying languages. You have to keep on top of it. You can't just stop. So this year, even when I'm not there, I go home and I have set times at night where I have to go through my languages and revise them, really. So, no, for me, it wasn't all partying. I think last year we counted up, me and my flatmates, that we only went out 4 times the whole year.
Wow. Well, that's dedication for you. And you deserve to do well with that attitude.
Yeah.
You really do.
The exam months are very hard, so you just sit in the library from 7 o'clock till 10 o'clock at night for a month and a half. So.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, it is difficult, and I do. There are a lot of times where you do get to go out. First year is like that. Freshers year is very going out and partying. Mm. But I think the jump from first year to second year at university is just a crazy step.
That's when a lot of the party goers drop out, isn't it?
When they have to do work. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Well, I've asked you to pick some music today, and your first choice is one that I particularly like as well, by a brilliant artist who sadly died last year, David Bowie, and it's Life on Mars.
Yeah.
Now, when we played this, I'll ask you a little bit more about why you chose it.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's a god-awful small affair to the girl with the mousy hair, but her mummy is yelling no, and her daddy has told her to go, but her friend is nowhere to be seen. Now she walks through her sunken dream to the seat with the clearest view, and she's hooked to the silver screen. But the film is a saddening bore, for she's lived it 10 times or more. She could spit in the eyes of fools if they ask her to focus on sailors fighting in the dance hall. Take a look at the low man, beating up the wrong guy. Oh man, wonder if you'll ever know who's in the best-selling show. Is there life on Mars? America's tortured brow, that Mickey Mouse has grown up a cow. And now the workers have struck for fame, 'cause Lennon's on sale again. See the mice in their million hordes, from Ibiza to the Norfolk Broads. Blue Britannia is out of bounds to my mother, my dog and clown. But the film is a sad thing for, 'cause I wrote it 10 times or more. It's about to be writ again, as I ask you to focus on sailors fighting in the dance hall.
That was Life on Mars by David Bowie. Could you tell me a little bit about why you chose that particular track?
Bowie's voice is unique, very, very unique. And it wasn't long ago that I actually got into David Bowie, but it was one of my dad's friend kept playing it, and I got into it, and then I found his voice amazing. And when I used to do singing, that was one of my favourite songs to sing.
Yeah.
So that's why I chose it, really. I do love his voice, and I think he's just really unique compared to all the artists at the moment and in the past.
Yeah, it is, definitely. There's no doubt about it.
And I love Labyrinth as well.
Yeah.
I love his film.
He's a good actor as well, yeah. He was a good all-rounder, wasn't he? And even more or less predicted his own death, didn't he?
Yeah, with his last album.
The way he brought his album out and everything. He didn't tell anyone either, did he?
No.
So, going back to your childhood again, then, you said you liked music and things. Did you do a lot of singing as a child then?
A lot of singing, a lot of musical theatre, especially at St. Christopher's. We had our music teacher, Miss Davis. She's still there now, but she used to make the most amazing shows at St. Christopher's. They still do amazing shows, and I think during my time there was Evita, Les Miserables and Cats whilst I was there. And I was one of the main roles in Cats whilst I was there. And
oh, very good.
She was amazing. She did Young Musician of the Year every year. Mm-hmm. And she had singing lessons at St. Christopher's. She was a very, very good teacher. And I think she pushed me to love it even more than I did.
Well, Cats is one of these musicals. There's quite a bit dancing as well, isn't
it?
So you're a good dancer as well.
They had to teach me a lot on the dancing. So we had rehearsals nearly every night for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Megan was our dance teacher, and she also did the lessons there. But she came in with us all the time, and she did all the dance with us, and she'd make it a little bit easier for you if you couldn't dance. So we had a lot of dancers as well at St. Christopher's. So they'd do the hardest parts.
Mm.
And then we'd get the easier bits if we were doing the singing parts. Yeah. So they evened it out, but we did have to learn to dance and tap dance and things like that.
I used to do a bit of acting, but I was terrible at singing and dancing, so
yeah.
I just did straight parts like Henry IV and things like that.
Yeah.
You know? But I did some comedies as well, and I started Risk Players with a guy called Len Hunter, and we did quite a few plays. I played Charles in Blessed Spirit, and I played a few like Lancashire country roles and things.
Yeah.
So, and I loved it, but I couldn't sing and I couldn't dance.
See, it's
and when opposite. Catherine and Amanda both went to Dorothy Bruce's dance school.
Yeah.
And I used to take part in the pantomimes every year. One year I was a king of Gooseland. I had to wear a flipping goose's head. And they gave up trying to teach me how to do the dances, you know. So.
The only dancing, I used to go to majorettes when I was younger. I went for around 16 years to Heimburn Comets in Oswald Twistle. And that's the sort of dancing that I could do.
Yeah.
But that one, yeah.
Well, it still means you've got to have a bit of rhythm and you've got to be able to keep in time with the music.
Yeah, definitely.
So you've obviously got the rudiments there for it.
Yeah,
to
the rhythm's there. Yeah. It's just collaborating it all.
So I believe your mum was German.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you lost her quite early.
I was 9 when I lost her.
Oh.
But I lost her at 9 years old. So my dad's had to play a massive role in my life, play mum and dad really, be all my life. But
Is your mum being German part of the reason why you want to learn that language? You probably knew German before you started.
She wouldn't speak to me in English. She would. So when I was younger, she spoke to me in German, and my dad spoke to me in English.
Right.
So I did pick up the language, and I still have contact. I'm very close with her sister who lives in Germany, and she rings me every week and speaks German to me. So I have kept the language going, but it was a grammar that I struggled with.
Yeah.
Because obviously when she spoke to me, I've never wrote it down. We've spoke in German, kind of slang in the accents that she had.
Yeah, because I know this because my wife used to be carer.
Yeah.
And she used to go and look after this couple called Ernest and Audrey Fronapple.
Mm.
We live on Hollins Lane. Fronapple means happy apple.
Yeah.
Apparently, yeah. Yes. And I used to go and have a drink with him when she looked after her on a Tuesday night. We used to have whiskey. And I was writing his biography. I got 5 chapters, and it was really interesting stuff. But I have a friend in America, and she has a husband who's German.
Yeah.
And then Ernest and this guy spoke to each other on Skype one day.
Oh, right.
And they couldn't understand half the things we were saying to each other, because apparently his was low German.
Yeah.
And Ernest was high German, whatever that means. But
I watched a film the other day, and it was based in Berlin. And as I was sat there watching this film, I couldn't understand the German they were speaking. No. Because it's so different.
It's the inflections, is it? It's a bit like our, is it a bit like, I don't know, I'm asking you this, is it a little bit like our dialect, or is there more to it than that?
I think it is dialects, but they're a lot harsher. Then we can understand most dialects, but in German they do change words. They do have a change of words, and we did it as part of our university course last year for linguistics.
And writing German words isn't very easy either, because
translate to the speaking. No, German is the harder language out of the two, Spanish and German. Definitely,
they say Spanish is easy, don't they? But I've never been. I can hardly speak English. Let's face it. But
yeah.
I mean, I can get more of a grasp of French because I'm a writer. Mm. A lot of our words are derived from French words, and I can understand more French than I can Spanish.
Spanish is quite easy. I can't say it's quite easy. It's okay, but they have a tense that we don't have in English. So they have the subjunctive, which is a mood that you use. So to grasp that when you don't have it in English is quite hard work. So in various ways, Spanish is still quite difficult with those sort of things, and the feminine and masculine, which we do have it here, but certain words go with masculine, which you'd think to be feminine, and things like that. So
I see.
Yeah.
So how many languages did you have, did you say?
I'm doing German and Spanish as my main at university, but I'm also doing Catalan. So I've done Catalan as well.
Right. That's an area of Spain, isn't it? Which
have
been in the news lately, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. For their independence, which I really do hope they get. I have a lot of Catalan friends.
So I
remember when I was younger, because I didn't understand all of what was going on at that point, and I rang my friend when Spain won the World Cup, and I was like, oh, congratulations, you've won. And sorry, I am not Spanish, I'm Catalan. And they're very pro-independence and don't believe themselves to be Spanish, but they have their own language at the same time, so they're not.
So they're trying to break away, but the Spanish government won't have it.
Not having it. And it's been going on for so long, but they actually seem to be getting somewhere now, which is great news for them.
Mm.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Yeah, so, I mean, I banned anybody who could speak anything except English. We went to Paris for our silver wedding, and there's this lady in the restaurant we were in, she was speaking fluent French and absolutely brilliant. You know, you just thought, oh, I wish I could do that, because she got on so well with everybody and you know. And then
I think it's important, even if you're not studying the languages, to not go over to someone else's country and at least give it a try.
Oh, no, you should do that.
I definitely think that's an important factor.
I have my Facebook, and I did a few, I said a few things, you know, which worked.
Yeah.
And then they answered me, and that was it. That was where I got lost.
But you tried, which a lot of people don't do now, and I think a lot of people expect everybody to speak English.
Yeah, oh, they do. But you're absolutely right, because lots of people who come over here speak English, and it's not the first language, is it?
No.
You know, but and some of them speak it really well.
Yeah. But that you can't expect everyone speaking. You need to try and speak their languages. It's not being ignorant then. You're not ignorant no. towards other languages. And I think it's an important part of the culture.
So are you, I mean, at the moment, are you in a relationship with anyone?
Yeah, yeah. I've been with my partner for about 3 years now.
Oh, okay. So, all yeah. right. So any yeah. wedding bells on the horizon?
No, not yet. I'm too not young yet. For that.
Well, that's yeah, it's, that's very true. I mean, I must admit, you're 22, aren't you?
Mm.
No, yeah.
yeah.
I was married when I was 22. My wife was 18, so
really?
I can't really say much about it. And no. we managed 45 years before she died last year, so.
Oh, amazing.
But that's something I'm trying to get over every day. That's why I'm keeping busy, I think. I'm just yeah. trying to, you know, and I am busy. I was photographing a wedding on Sunday. I've got this library thing. I don't know if you might be there. I don't know. It's library week this week.
All right.
And, we're doing, I don't know if you know, I'm on the Committee of Lancashire Authors.
No, no.
And we have a library within Accrington Library, Lancashire Authors Library.
Mm-hmm.
And it's open from, I'm going to be there with Sid Calderbank from 10 till 4.
Yeah.
And we're going to have an open day so people can come and look at the books and you know, see what we've got really. Because there's loads of stuff there, right from the beginning of dialect with Tim Bobbin and people like that.
Yeah.
You know, so
I'm excited for Oswald Twistle Library to reopen.
Yes, I believe it is, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't tell you the date.
You don't know the date, so you can't tell me.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Somebody said it might be early next year sometime, but I don't know. Yeah. Obviously, I ran the writers group at Aussie for 6 years, and I've started it at Accrington now. We've got the second one on Friday, which I don't think I'm doing at the moment. But as soon as the Aussie one opens again, I'll be back up there. That doesn't mean I'll abandon Accrington if people still want it, but, you know, I might have to put my solid two to do both, but I love Oswald Twistle Library.
It's beautiful.
It's such a friendly community up there as well. In fact, some of the people who were members up there won't go to Accrington, so, you know, they're quite parochial about Aussie, but Aussie's a lovely place, isn't it? I think it, you know, like Martin's Bakers, for instance, they tried opening a shop in Accrington. It didn't work.
No.
Because people in Accrington and Aussie are so different, aren't
they?
Yeah.
And they're very, so Martin's will be known for Oswald Twistle.
Mm-hmm.
So people will, there's bakers in Accrington that people have been there. They're not going to stray away from those.
No, oh, absolutely. No, so, you're quite right there. But, it's a very interesting subject, isn't it, about libraries and the fact that they did say they were going to open it again and they're keeping the word, so that's great.
Yeah, it's good news.
And it's going to be a proper library again, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like County Council and everything, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant. So, uni from St Christopher's, what sort of a transition was that for you?
I did find it very difficult, actually, the transition. So it was the first time I'd been away. You'd live on your own, don't you, for the first time ever. And you don't know these people, you get thrown in. And the flat that I was in, there was 8 people in this flat. So I found the transition from school to university quite hard, and I did struggle in my first year actually with it, but it's definitely a big step up. And it's just, university is such an independent studying kind of thing, whereas you, through A levels and school, you're guided through, and then you get to university and they're like, right, this is you, it's up to you, everything's up to you. If you want to turn up to the lectures and learn, you can do. If you don't, we don't care. It's your
control
education.
Then, haven't you? You know, and a lot of people go off the rails, don't they, when they've got that, because before it's been regimented into them.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And then you've got to learn to cook. You do everything on your own.
Well, that's right, because I'm assuming you stay there, do you, when
yeah,
you're there?
So yeah, so I lived in Manchester. I lived there. In fact, I live with the same person now for 3 years, and it's the first time she's not lived with me now, and she's on her own, and she's texting me like, I've never been to Aldi without you, and I'm doing my shops and doing my washing without you. But it's a big change, and learning to do everything on your own, just being thrown in the deep end.
But it gets easier as you
go on.
So the next piece of music you've chosen is No Sound But Wind by The Editors.
Yeah.
So we'll play that little bit, and then you can tell me a little bit more about why you like that.
Yeah.
We can never go home, we know love. the kiss of the snow, the crescent moon above us. Our blood is cold and we're alone, but I'm alone with you. Help me to carry the fire, we will keep it alight together. Help me to carry the fire, it will light our way forever. If I say shut your eyes, if I say look away, bury your face in my shoulder, think of a birthday. The things you put in your head, they will stay there forever. Our blood is cold and we're alone, but I'm alone with you. Help me to carry the fire, we will keep it alight together. Help me to carry the fire, it will light our way forever. Help me to carry the fire, we will keep it alight together.
Just listening there to No Sound But Wind by The Editors. Could you tell me why you chose that?
I think it's my favourite song. It's so emotional and it's just... When I first heard it, I was going to see Muse at Old Trafford Cricket Ground and I'd heard of The Editors, but they were the support band for it, and I remember walking into this huge arena and this song was on. I'd never heard it. And I fell in love with it as soon as I heard it. It's just one of those songs that sticks with you. And this is the song. This is my favourite song.
Brilliant. Yeah. It's nice. It's nice. I think we all have favourite songs, don't we? Mm. But whenever I ask anybody to do one of these and I say, pick your first five, oh no, can I have more than that?
Because yeah. Always,
and it's a little bit like, it's a bit like Aki, Desert Island Discs.
So yeah.
At least you get to, you know, you can listen to this after and think, oh, that's not bad. I like that music, and
yeah.
You know, gives you a little bit of choice, doesn't it?
Mm.
Right. So you said you had a partner.
Mm-hmm.
How did you meet? And
it was my 20th birthday that I met him on, and I was actually at Aussie Con Club on Ridding Street, and I used to have worked there for a long time, and it's kind of the local where I can go for a drink on my own. You always know someone, and for a 22-year-old to feel comfortable in a place like that is great, because it's not easy. So I was in there with a few of my work friends having a drink for my birthday, and he was in there with a few of his friends having a drink, and then we got chatting and started from there. And it was actually snowing that day, and I remember us going outside, running outside onto the street and doing snow angels in the snow, and it all started from there, really.
That sounds really romantic.
Yeah, it was cold. He's called Joel.
Joel. Oh,
yeah. He's a bricklayer.
Is he?
Yeah.
So when you say your workmates, what was the job you were doing then?
That at that point I was working behind the bar there.
Oh, sorry.
So that was my first job really. Well, I did cafe work and things, but once I turned 17, that was your first proper job. I was working behind the bar.
We've had a few do's there, you know, of the social club. Yeah. We had a Christmas do for Aussie Writers. We had that there for about 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And I had my birthday there, and that was like June 2014, my fifth birthday. So I had that there. So you may have even served me drinks.
I probably did. We have a lot of do's there. Our merrymaking after it, we had a huge do there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually on the committee there now. So as we were working there, they were like, we need to get some youngsters on board. And I got roped into being on the committee. Yeah. So
that's another thing I would have thought, maybe as mayoress, You might have had some young people's committees and things as well. Yeah.
I've been involved. So I've got myself involved with the Twin in Town. So Oswald Twistle, they're trying to twin it with Whitburn in Scotland at the moment.
Oh, right.
But they are twinning it. So we're trying to arrange projects that we can do. So I'm currently speaking to a friend that works at a residential home in Oswald Twistle to see if we can get like a pen pal thing going
with
some of the residents there and some from Whitburn in Scotland.
Whitburn near Glasgow?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, I know Scotland quite well because all my family's up there. Actually, my dad comes from Scotland, so I have 30-odd cousins in Edinburgh.
I've not been to Scotland much. The only thing I remember from going to Scotland was that it was very cold. But it was a really long time ago.
Well, it's really funny because we went up 1976, which was the hottest summer on record.
Yeah.
And we went to Pitlochry, and it was absolutely 86 degrees it was. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
And we were watching the salmon and everything jumping, and Pitlochry is sort of the gateway to the Highlands. And we saw something quite sad that day as well. We were coming round the street and saw this dog panting in the gutter with a wet cloth on it. Somebody had left it in the back of a car. It didn't survive.
No.
No, it's so sad when people do that, because don't they realise that the windows are going to, the windows are going to escalate the heat. And
you hear about it a lot, don't you, as well?
But we actually saw it. It was a little westy.
That's
one of these things, isn't it? Yeah. But yeah, it does get cold in Scotland, no doubt. If you go up in October, you need a jumper.
Yeah.
I've always learned that. But, Edinburgh itself is one of the most beautiful cities I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it's so old world, it's got so much character. I think it's probably my favourite city on earth of the ones I've ever been to. Anyway.
That's where I went, but because I was so young, I don't remember it. No. So it's definitely one of my places to go again.
Oh, yeah, definitely go again.
Yeah.
They used to have quite a big turnout for the new year every year when they switched on the lights, but high winds have stopped that a couple of years. And I don't know if they still do it now. I think they probably do. I know Amanda, my daughter Amanda, before she went to Australia, she went up there with her mates for one new year and they really enjoyed themselves. Yeah.
Moved to Australia.
Amanda did, 2004. We've been there. We got there in 2009. It's a beautiful city. A beautiful country.
I'd love to go to Australia.
Telly's rubbish, John.
Telly's rubbish, yeah.
Anyway, back to you. Yeah, you met your boyfriend. And what have you done? What exciting things have you done with your boyfriend?
Well, we've been on holiday. So we've been to Spain together. We went to Barcelona. We went to Costa Brava for a week and then got a bus and got a hotel in Barcelona for 4 days while we were there.
Mm-hmm.
We went to watch the fountains, the Sagrada Familia. We did water parks over there. We've been to Amsterdam. We've been to the lakes. Yeah, we've done quite a lot of stuff, and he's just currently bought a house, so he's setting that.
And he's a bricklayer, is he? So that's another thing. If anything to do with having, you've got somebody to on tap,
it's great.
You? That's brilliant. Yeah.
It's great because I'm not good with anything like that, so he has to. I'm ringing him, Joel, can you come and do? I brought my wardrobe the other week. Joel, can you come up and fix this and things like that? So
yeah, that's great. But so when you go to Germany and you said Germany and Spain, didn't you?
Yes.
So when you go to Germany and Spain, he's going to be missing you, isn't he?
Yeah, he will do. Yeah, yeah. But It'll be fine. We'll jump that bridge when we get to it. That's what we're saying.
Jump off that bridge. You've got Skype, haven't you?
You've got Skype, he'll come over, I'll come back.
Oh, of course you can. I mean, Bricklayer's earning a load of money anyway, so I'll be able to afford
that. I don't
that.
See much of it though.
I'm joking. Right, well, we'll go to your third piece of music now, which is Embarrassment by Madness. Very interesting group, Madness. And I know that, my cousin's lad used to absolutely dote on me. He used to be, think, absolutely the bee's knees.
Yeah.
And I must admit, I do like Suggs. And so we'll play this now. Embarrassment by Madness.
Received a letter just the other day. Don't seem to want to know you no more. I've laid it down, given you the score. Within the first 2 lines, it must be read. You're not to come see us no more. Keep away from our door. Don't come round here no more. What on earth did you do that for? All right, she don't wanna know. She says, what will the neighbours think? They'll think we don't, that's what they'll think. We don't, but I will, cause I know they think I don't. Our uncle, we don't wanna know. He says, we are disgraced to the human race. He says, show your face when you're disgraced to the human race. That you have booked was an intention that was overlooked. They say stay away, don't want you home today. Keep away from our door. Don't come round here no more. Our dad don't wanna know. He says this is a serious matter. Too late to reconsider. No one's gonna wanna know. She don't wanna know. She says, I'm feeling twice as old. She said, thought she had her head on her shoulder. Cause I'm feeling twice as old. I'm feeling twice as old.
That was Embarrassment by Madness. And I laugh when I say that because I'm just watching them strutting across the stage. They're so funny to watch, aren't they? And so off the wall. So what do you like about that particular track of Madness's?
There's a musical called Our House Musical and it's based on all the Madness songs. And when I watched Accrington Theatre Group do it at Oswald Twissell Civic Theatre, and I helped with the tech because I was wanting to join Accrington Theatre Group at that point. But I just joined just as they were doing the show. So they was like, oh, well, help us with the technology. And then you can come in the year after, obviously, because you won't be able to do rehearsals now because we're about to do the show. So I watched this 5 nights in a row and I fell in love with Madness. I think they're quirky. That Embarrassment's so cleverly done and the way they fit their songs into this musical and made the musical about the songs, I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, and I think the thing about Madness, which people don't realise, I mean, they've all got the accents, haven't they? But the way they pronounce the words, you can hear every word they sing, can't you? You know, so, you know, like a lot of these people who mumble the words, you can't hear a damn thing.
No.
I think they're really good for that. And, they are entertaining. If you remember, I think it was the Queen's Diamond Jubilee when they went to Buckingham Palace and they were on top of on top of Buckingham Palace.
But everyone always says to me, so if I say, they'll say, what, who's your favourite band? And I go, Madness. People are so shocked by that.
Well, the 70s, aren't they, originally?
Yeah, so shocked by it, but yeah, they definitely
Why not?
Are.
Why not? If it's good, it's good, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, my dad used to love the big band sound, and I grew up listening to Glenn Miller and people like that, and I still love listening to them today.
Yeah.
Although before my time, but they were brilliant.
Yeah.
And they were pioneers of the field, so.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. Moonlight Serenade, a beautiful song, that sort of thing. So, what does Sarah do to relax?
A bottle of wine is usually involved.
Oh, yes.
But it depends. So, I like going out for food. I have a big group of friends who all go to different universities and have graduated, so. Work everywhere, really. When we all meet up, it's a really big thing, and it's just nice to do. So we'll go out for some drinks, or we like to go to K2 in Manchester, which is like, you have your own little booze room, and it's like a little karaoke room, and you're all sat there, and you get some drinks, and you're all just singing along to music. So basically, being with my friends, or spending time with Joel, so we'll go to restaurants and have some wine.
Mm-hmm.
Or when I'm tired, just sitting on the settee and watching a film or a series. Yeah. I love doing that.
Are you one of these binge watchers that watches the whole box set at one go?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Especially when you're at university, because you're on your own that much, you do find yourself watching seven episodes of a series in a night. Mm. And you'll be going, oh, I just need to go to bed
now. What's your favourite series?
Of all time will be Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and that's
That's going back a bit.
Going back a long time. But I remember watching it every Thursday night at 8 o'clock at night, and my brother was really into it when I was younger, Alexander, and I wasn't allowed to watch it. And every time I kept coming into his room and I'd knock on the door, I'd be like, "Can I watch it? Only if you're silent through it." And I got into it, and we got into this thing where every Thursday night it was a ritual to watch Buffy. Everyone were quiet, and we did that. And it's always, since then, it's always been my favourite series.
And
I've rewatched
it. That was Sarah Michelle Gellar, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And what has she done since then?
She now does cookbooks.
Oh, does she?
Yeah.
Oh.
Food Stairs,
it's
called.
Lisa Faulkner, the British actress, she did that, didn't she? She acted a lot in Holby and things like that. And she does all these cooking.
And they turned into cooking, but she was in, obviously, Scooby-Doo after that, and she was in a horror, I can't remember what.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she does, I think it's a channel as well, she has a channel called Food Stairs.
Well, I got into Game of Thrones late.
Yeah,
and
that's a great series.
Sky was offering the first series, so I watched it, and after episode 7, they pulled the plug. No, after 6, they pulled the plug.
Yeah.
So then I had to go on Amazon and buy the rest of the series to see it, and it cost me $12.99. Which is fair enough. I watched that, and then I thought, I need to see a second series now. I went to Amazon, $22.99 for the series, so
yeah.
I haven't bothered with the second one yet, you know.
It's
a long way to go.
Series.
They've just done 7, haven't they?
Yeah. Well, I've just started 7. I think I've watched 3 of the episodes.
But just from what I watched, it's not a series to watch if you've got a favourite, because they don't last long in that, do they?
Not in the first series, they don't.
I love Sean Bean, and he made it. He only made it to episode 10 on a poll, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think everyone was so shocked because they were expecting him to be in it throughout, weren't they? And they killed him off in the first season.
But, so, apart from Breaking Bad, do you watch that?
I couldn't get into it.
No,
I've
never
get
watched
into
it either. But
and everyone raves about it. All my friends love it. But I watched about 4 episodes, and I still, at the end of it, I was like, it's not something that I'm getting into.
What about comedies?
Friends. Friends is a great comedy.
If you go into my office upstairs, I've got loads of VHSs with Friends.
Friends.
Yeah.
Friends, and I started the other day? I love Carl Pilkington, An Idiot Abroad.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's one of the funniest men alive, because he's just so simple-minded about everything.
Mm.
And he's not trying to be funny. He's just such a funny person with the way he sees things. And Ricky Gervais. So I watched.
Well, Ricky Gervais started Carl Pilkington on the road, didn't he, I think?
So
yeah.
I started watching Extras.
Oh, that was good.
So I've just started that. But it is very funny. It's very funny. Extras, I think I'll definitely get into those.
Right, we've covered music, we've covered films. What about sport? Are you in tennis sports?
No. Well,
that's a quick conversation.
Yeah,
then.
No. Dancing, majorettes, that was about it. I was awful at sport.
Did you do ballroom dancing at all?
No, never done that. I did majorettes and there was a couple of spurts of where I did rock and roll and stuff like that, but ballet and tap. Sports was never my thing, ever.
I have a feeling I might know the answer to this one, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Are you into reality TV?
No.
I didn't think you would be.
No. The only reality TV that I do watch is I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of
Here. I think that's
the Jungle.
Yeah.
I love The Jungle. I do watch that. And I did one year watch Big Brother every night, but no.
Yeah, I mean, Big Brother's all right, but there's so much swearing on it.
Yeah.
And it gets out of hand sometimes, I think.
Yeah, and I just think it's people come out and some of the people that come out, their lives are ruined through it, things like that. I don't know, I'm not into my reality TV, no.
No, I don't think you would be, because you in a way, you're quite a serious person, I think, aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you like things like X Factor and Strictly Come Dancing, that sort of thing?
I've never watched X Factor until this year.
Started
watching.
There's a lass from Blackburn on this
year,
from Mango.
And she's my favourite.
She's brilliant,
and she's amazing,
isn't she?
Yeah. And that is probably the only reason I'm watching it for that girl, because she's unbelievable.
I think she'll get all the way, won't she?
I hope so. I definitely hope.
I felt a bit sorry for the other singer-songwriter that came on after her last night, because once he'd picked her...
I haven't watched last night yet. I haven't watched it yet. That's my tonight binge TV.
You watch that tonight and I'll not say any more. It's my hands.
That's tonight.
So and I've always watched that. I mean, maybe, people would expect me to watch Strictly Come Dancing and not that. But it's not an either-or situation. If you've got a BT TV box, you've got Sky, you can watch what the heck you want.
Yeah.
So I always watch both, I must admit. Yeah. And I enjoy it, I really do. And sometimes people criticise the judges, but on the whole, I think they do a darn good job, and I think they know all the stuff,
A good TV programme that I've started watching is that Dr. Foster.
Oh.
See, I'm only on the first season and about three episodes in.
Keep my mouth shut.
So it's everywhere at the moment.
You could have started me off there, because I just watched the end of it.
Yeah, so it's everywhere. So I'm trying to avoid magazines, because I have literally just started it. So I'm avoiding all magazines and everything telling me stories about it. So but I'm enjoying that.
I'm not even going to tell you whether there's going to be another series or not then, because that would ruin it for you. I wouldn't do that to you.
Saran Jones is such a good actress, though.
Oh, she's
fantastic.
She's
unbelievable.
Actress. Yeah. So is the last from Accrington, though, Julie Hesmondel. She showed us.
Yeah.
Did you see Broadchurch?
No, I didn't see Broadchurch.
She was absolutely brilliant in that, playing a rape victim. In fact, people who've been through it in real life were complimenting her on how she'd done such a good job of portraying it. Yeah. I mean, she was good in Corrie, but she's a really talented actress, and I was lucky enough to meet her, because it's a shame you were a mayoress this year and you weren't in 2015 when she got the Freedom of the Borough.
Yeah, she did, didn't she? Yeah.
Right, so we've got through your music likes, we've got through your film likes and your television likes. Oh, we haven't done films, have we? What's your favourite film?
Well, Cats. Cats the musical. I remember getting the video for Christmas. And I think I was about 5 years old.
All right.
And this, out of all the presents I must have got, because you spoil it, aren't you, when you're a little girl, you get loads of dolls, Barbies, and that one present that must have cost my dad at most, £9, £10, out of everything, that was I watched it every night, every single night. I loved it. I loved it. And I think they actually got annoyed at the fact that I wasn't bothered about all this other stuff. Apart from this one Cats video. Yeah, definitely my favourite film. And it's a musical. And I love Evita.
Okay, it's the actual Andrew Lloyd Webber Cats,
yes.
Is it? All right, the million for movie, I didn't know that.
They filmed it on the West End.
Oh, right. Oh,
so
yeah.
It's actually,
they've done that with Amis, haven't they?
Yeah, it's very clever, but it's the Cats and Evita. It's very musically based, my films. The Notebook, every girl loves The Notebook. It's a great one to cry at if you feel it, if it's sad. Marley and Me always gets me, makes me cry.
Well, Rita and I saw that at the cinema. And it is, it's such a sad
I've
film.
I've never cried as much in my life at a film, ever.
That was Jennifer Aniston and not Ben Stiller, the other guy.
Yeah, blonde hair.
I just can't think what that guy's called now, and he's been in loads of things since.
Yeah, I can't think.
No. Anyway, never mind. Did you like quizzes?
I like them. I'm not that great at them. except we did go to a quiz as Mayor and Mayoress on Tuesday for the Accrington and District Blind Society's annual quiz.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't answer one question all the way through it until it got to the music round, and no one else could answer these questions apart from me.
Yeah. Oh,
so
funny.
I got us 19 out of 20 and boosted us up to third place in the overall final.
Into third place?
Third place, yeah, not first. We were only a point and a half off first place.
But very good.
I didn't answer.
Well, see, if everybody had been good on their subjects,
exactly,
you were on yours.
Exactly, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
When they were all sat there looking at me for the answers of their general knowledge, I just stayed silent.
Anyway, we'll go to your fourth piece of music, which is Oh What a Circus from Evita.
Mm-hmm.
Now, David Essex, I must say, is one of my wife's favourite singers.
Mm.
And we went to see him at Blackburn, and he was brilliant. Yeah. So we'll listen to that now. And that's Oh What a Circus from Evita.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
Vita non genuit,
the truth is
salve, salve, Regina.
You
of an actress called Ava Perón. We've all gone crazy, mourning all day and mourning all night, falling over ourselves to get hold of the misery right. Oh, what an exit, that's how to go when they're ringing your curtain down. Demand to be buried like Ava Perón. It's quite a sunset and good for the country. In a roundabout way, we've made the front pages of all the world's papers today. But who is this Santa Evita? Why all this howling, hysterical sorrow? What kind of goddess has lived among us? How will we ever get by without her? Salve Regina, Mater Misericordiae, Vita Lucenues Est Nostra. Salve, salve Regina, Mater Clamamus, Exule Filii Eva, Adesus Redamus Gementes, Efletes Sopra. She had her moment, she had some style. The best show in town was the crowd outside the Casa Rosada, crying Ava Perón. But that's all gone now. As soon as the smoke from the funeral clears, we're all gonna see and how she did nothing for years. Let down your people every time. You were supposed to have been immortal. That's all they wanted, not much to ask for. But in the end you could not deliver.
Salve Regina, Mater Misericordiae, Vita Lucenus Est Nostra.
Evita,
Evita,
Evita.
I
love you in heaven,
Sophia. Whoa.
Okay, that was Oh What a Circus by David Essex from the musical Evita, and he was quite a big rock singer in the 70s as well. You seem to have a penchant for singers from the 70s. I don't know if I'm right.
I seem to, don't I? Yeah. It's just Evita, just one of the musicals that I love, and it's got that rock bit in the middle, hasn't it, where it kicks off. So I love that one.
Yeah, and I just think that he's so naturally, such a natural performer as David Essex, isn't he? In any sphere, and decent actor as well.
Yeah.
And that was more or less, he was a real rock star then. Mm. So, 6 months into your tenure as mayoress of Hamburn, and the youngest one, I may say, to boot.
Yeah.
Have you any idea who was the youngest before you did it? Have you ever looked into this?
I haven't, but I've been told I don't think there is anyone younger than me.
Oh, no, I don't think there's anybody younger, but I'm saying who was the youngest before you?
I haven't actually looked into that, no.
So were you actually 21 when you started?
No, I was 22, February is my birthday. So, it's been an experience that I never thought I'd push. Some of the things that I'm doing, I would have never pushed myself to do myself, and I'm thinking... And I love it. I love it. I really do. So art exhibitions at the Haworth Art Gallery. So I've been to two now. And the first time I was going, I'm thinking, I'm not going to enjoy this. I'm not going to like this. And I got there and I loved it. And it's because you never push yourself to do those sort of things. Because if you've got that in your head that you don't enjoy something, you don't push yourself to do it. And I loved it. And I think it's one of my favourite things so far.
That's a good point. I've been twice now.
That's
a good point, yeah. And when you do something like that, and it's out of the blue, it's something you wouldn't normally do.
Yeah.
You appreciate it more sometimes.
Oh, massively, yeah. And we've been to a lot of schools. Last week it was Macmillan week, so I think in one day we went to about 9 Macmillan coffee mornings and ate cake at every one of them.
You'd be hyper, wouldn't you, after all that coffee?
I had a big caffeine crash afterwards, yeah. But the things that you go to, it's so different, every single one that you go to. So tomorrow night, I think it's an awards evening that we go to. But then the day after, last week's a good example, we had the Macmillan coffee mornings. And then later on the Tuesday, we ended up at the disabled riding school. And my dad was being hoisted onto a horse by this hoist.
Oh, excellent.
So it's so varied. But
we've
got
pictures of that.
I've got a video of that. That'll be staying on my phone for a long time.
Yeah,
I've never seen my dad look so awkward in his life. It was one of the funniest things I've seen.
Yeah.
Because he's never rode a horse either. So as he sat on this horse, they're going, right, you need to sit up, keep your back straight. And he's going, don't move the horse, just keep it still. I'm falling off it. And I was like, no, you're fine, don't worry. But it's so different every day what you're doing. And you could go from having two in one week to being out four times a day at different events.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you just take each week as it comes, really.
So, you know, it's a bit unique as well, because your dad has his daughter as his mayoress and his son
as the consort.
As his consort, which I don't know if that's ever been done before.
No, it's not.
I didn't think it would. But I remember your dad. I mean, I think your dad is probably a similar age to me.
Yeah.
And I'm 68 now. I think he's probably 67.
67.
Yeah. See, I do a bit of research.
Yeah.
And I remember him forever on the council. Yeah. He's been 33 years, hasn't he?
He's done it for a long time.
And, you know, I mean, I'm of a different political persuasion, but I just don't think that matters in local politics.
No.
I think it's who does what you...
Who does the best.
You know, because it's about local people. It's about things.
I think people do confuse it because they do think, well, I'm a Tory, so I vote Labour nationally. And they don't look at the local area. They think, I've got this in my head that I'm Labour or a Tory, I vote that. But they don't actually look... what goes on locally.
You've got to look at the people, haven't you?
Yeah, you do have to look at the people. And I think that's one thing about my dad is they call him Mr. Ozzy. Do you know what I mean? He's been there for so long. And it is about what he does. And I've had a lot of people say, I'm a hard Labour. I've always voted Labour nationally. But locally, I'll always vote for your dad because he does so much.
Well, like you said, nationally is a different thing.
It is, but a lot of people don't see that difference. No, I think my dad's convinced that I'll go into local politics.
I was going to ask you about that, because maybe I thought because like you say, you're doing things you didn't expect to be doing. Mm. Has this given you sort of a different idea about politics? Has it made you want to be active in politics?
Yeah, it has actually. I do want to be an active in politics, and I am, and I always have been through my dad. So during the election times, I have helped every single year, and I've always been involved. Obviously, a lot of the meetings were held at my house, so I had to listen to it. Yeah. I didn't really have a choice at that age.
You grew up with it, yeah.
So I have grown up with politics, and I do love Oswald Twiston, and I love the people in it. I think maybe there's a possibility that I will go into local politics, but we've got to see what happens.
You had something quite major at the beginning of your tenure, didn't you, when you had that Manchester bombing?
Yeah.
And I remember seeing the video from downtown with you and your dad on it and Graham Jones on it. And all the communities got together, didn't they, to denounce this. And that's the first time I've ever seen that.
I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, I did.
Obviously not what has happened. That was a tragedy.
Oh, absolutely. It was
absolutely
terrible. But this time it brought people together.
It did bring people together. And to be a part of that and to see that, because we were stood at the front, so you got to see the mass amount of people that turned up for this and were silent and did queue for a long time to just write in the respect in the book to pay the respects. And I've never seen something like that in Accrington.
That was at St. James's Church, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was at St. James's Church. It was amazing to see that Harnburn, how many people came together in Harnburn for that reason. And I actually lived in Manchester at that time that it happened. I live in Fallowfield, where the terrorist was from. It was lived just round the corner from my house, to be honest. And
just makes you take pause, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And I remember the first thing, see, I'd turned on the news and it was there, and the hospital was just across from my university where they took all the victims. And we went to the actual vigil in Manchester, me and my friends, because we were in Manchester at the time. And I just remember the first thing, I had my dad on the phone to me, "Where are you? Are you home?" And because it was so close to home.
People did that, you know. Yeah. In fact, I think on Facebook they were asking people to declare they were safe and stuff, weren't they?
Yeah, well, a few of my friends were at the concert. And it's just, it was surreal. So you see it all the time on TV, but it's so surreal when it's so close to home. It actually...
So, what did you get to the Ariana Grande concert after?
I did.
That was a real affair, wasn't it?
It was an emotional night, a very emotional night, but it was unbelievable because you felt the atmosphere of people coming together saying, "We're not scared. Look at us. We're all stood here," and you felt that as you were there, and it was unbelievable. But Ariana Grande, she's only 21, 22, and how she handled it.
She was very mature, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Mm. So and she didn't dress up, she dressed down for the occasion.
Yeah. Utmost respect, because it must have been absolutely awful that these people have gone to her concert, and I think she did an amazing job.
I thought Coldplay were brilliant that night as well.
They were.
They sang you back in anger, didn't they?
I was just going to the toilet when they came on, and I remember thinking, "I'm not going now, I'm curtaining."
No, you're going to watch them.
Yeah. And I'd lost everyone at this point because I tried to remember where my friends were.
Yeah.
And all the way through Coldplay, I just remember trying to search for my friends.
That was at Old Trafford, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The thing was that it was very early in your tenure, and it must have been,
I do remember driving home from Manchester. It was during my exams. But I did drive home for the vigils, went to the vigil and then drove straight back home after it. But it was very early on. I think it was two, three weeks into our tenure. So it was a daunting experience. And I do, at the beginning, everything was a daunting experience.
I would imagine it would be. Yeah,
everything.
Something you'd done. I mean,
because
a young girl in a, let's face it, political world is a lot of older people normally, isn't it? So, you know.
That was my fear. That was a big part of it. So they always have been older. So I had no one to follow. I had no one I could take advice off in my position. Even clothes wise, do you know what I mean? I have to I couldn't be like, oh, well, what should I wear to this? Because it's complete different for me.
Of course, yeah, you wouldn't dress up like, no. say, Margaret Thatcher would no, dress up no. for a start. You'd dress up as you. You'd
and that's my thing. I don't like hats. I don't like hats no. and I don't like fascinators. And I just choose not to wear them. But I do remember thinking, are people going to accept my age?
Mm.
And it...
I bet they did, didn't they?
Most of them did, and yeah. I remember being at Heinburn Business Awards, and this was when it was still starting, and I was really nervous.
Oh, I was there, yeah.
That, yeah, that and night. I walked into the toilets, and there was this huge group of women in the toilets, and they all turned around to me, and they was like, do you know, it's so amazing to see someone so fresh-faced doing this role,
mm-hmm.
and that set me off. I was that just put me where I needed to be.
Well, I've got to admit, the first time I met you, I liked you.
Mm.
And I still do.
Yeah.
You're just that sort of person.
Yeah.
And you don't ignore anybody. You no, always no, have no. time for everybody. And I like that about you.
Yeah. But I think oh, my dad kept saying to me, because I talked to my dad and I said, I'm nervous. And he just said to me, just be yourself. So yeah. If they don't like you, they don't like you.
No.
He said, but I'm very soft and he knows I'm very soft and I don't take things very well if someone's a bit nasty.
Sensitive.
And I was like, you're very used to it. You're a politician, obviously. Mm. Not everyone loves you.
And the thing about that is...
But the difference is for me.
If somebody sort of, not say blanks you, but if they seem to be a bit cold towards
yeah.
you just think, what have you done wrong,
yeah.
don't you? And you think,
and that's what,
and
that's
you go back
I'm
over
like.
It, you analyse things, I know.
I do, but he just said, just be yourself, Sarah, and if they don't like you, they don't like
you. So your dad was the one that gave you the advice and
yeah,
and
he still does, does at things. So we went to the Duke of Lancaster's remembrance service on Sunday in Warrington, and I remember walking in and I was like, Dad, I'm nervous about this because... Mm. This was just all of the mayor and mayoresses from Liverpool,
course,
everywhere,
yeah.
Preston. And I remember walking in and I thought, I know I'm going to be the youngest person and that they'll all have this. They'll be able to chat about things that I probably wouldn't be able to get myself involved in. And my dad was like, just be yourself.
Mm.
And it works out. It does work out. And
yeah.
I've just found one of the things I was nervous about was if I did go to the pub with my friends and I got a little bit drunk, like 22-year-olds do.
Yeah, of course.
That I'd get judged by doing that. And I have had a few people comment saying, well, not comments, but they've, you know, I'll have a drink and they'll be like, oh, Mayoress. And I brush it off.
Oh, Mayoress is drink, you know.
Yeah. but you can brush it off. And yeah, I think, yeah, it's great.
When you were inaugurated.
I remember, but that day I do remember everyone was saying,
yeah, that must be a bit overwhelming for
that
you.
That was
everyone's
very overwhelming.
Of you and, yeah,
because I think it got to around 12 o'clock, and I'd been up since 6 o'clock, getting ready, going to the hairdressers, and I'd constantly had look this way, do this, do that, and it did overwhelm me a little bit. And at one point, I just had to walk into the chambers and just have a glass of water and 5 minutes to just get my bearings back.
You did really well, though.
And realise what was going on.
You know, I mean, obviously, I was taking photos as well, and yeah. I thought you held yourself really well, and you got your mates on some photos as well.
Yeah, because they'd love them as well. I'm going to get them all copies because they actually all bought me a ring on my mermaking day that I wear all the time.
Oh, yeah, is that it? Yeah.
Yeah, so they all chipped together, all my friends, and bought me this ring, and they said they absolutely loved it, and... Yeah, they'll all be coming to the mayor's ball.
That night, when you became mayoress that day, that night, did you all go out in the town?
No, we had a party after that at the Aussie Social Club.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Because obviously at the mayor making, you're only allowed so many people, invitations. So what we said was, well, we'll do a party after where we can invite everyone. So it was a long day. And I remember we had a mural the next day. So we had... it was a charity walk for the Rotary.
Oh, yeah. They do it along the canal, don't they, or somewhere?
Yeah, and then we had a church service at the Holy Trinity with the bishop. So I'd been out since 7 o'clock. Obviously, we had the mayor make until about 2, 3 o'clock. Then everyone came back to our house.
Mm-hmm.
We drank, carried on till 7 o'clock when we were then went to the Aussie Com.
Mm.
That went on till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I had Jane on the phone to me the next day. So I would get up, 6 o'clock.
Jane's a lady with the mace, isn't she? That's right. She's nice as well, isn't she?
She's amazing, is Jane, and she She's great because she's never looked after a 22-year-old, and I think she finds it refreshing. And I remember the other day, she was taking pictures. She's going, "Sorry, look here," and I was like, "Jane, you're like an embarrassing mum. Can you just..." Do you know what I mean?
She said that to her, yeah.
Yeah, because I can, because she's never... Mm. We're both in the same situation. She's never had to look after someone so young, probably, in the mayoral role. Mm. So it's new for both of us, but we get on really well. But she definitely is like an embarrassing mum to me on the mayorals. And she looks after me, but she tells me straight.
Yeah.
And she does, and she'll take my drink off me if I... She thinks I've had too much.
Yeah, not only that.
Yeah.
Milk.
And yeah.
Bit of fruit juice.
She's great.
But yeah, so that's good. You did tell me something at the Heritage Centre, which I will bring up because it was funny, that when you were going to some of these schools, you had to wear high heels because some of the kids were overshadowing you. I mean, it happens to me all the time, so I can understand what you're saying.
I'm very short. So I think I'm 5'2".
Mm.
I keep trying to say 5'3" to people, but I'd be lying.
Mm.
I'm 5'2", and I found that when I was going to school, I think it was Moor End for the Maypole, and they'd asked us to all get a picture, and I'd worn heels the day before all day for mayoral events that day. I remember my feet were in agony, so I was like, I'll just put my flat shoes on. And I remember being stood in the photos, and these two children, and they must have only been year 5, year 4, but they were the exact same height as me, and I thought, I can't do this. I can't be stood in photos and just look, blend in with the school kids because I'm that short. So I thought, from then on, I have to wear heels. And everyone always goes to me when I stand up, "Oh, I can't believe how small you are."
Before we finish this, is there anything you want to say to anybody who might be in a position where you are at 22 and be asked to become mayoress or hold some public office?
Don't think about what other people are going to think, that you are in this position and you've got to make the most of it. So I feel like in the first month it did take something away from me from being scared about it. But you've just got to enjoy it and you've just got to be yourself. And if people don't like you for it, they don't. And it's a simple, and it's going to happen in all walks of life. Not everyone's going to love what you're doing. They'll have an opinion on it. But just enjoy it because it's an unbelievable experience.
We'll finish off with your last piece of music. And I have to say thank you very much, Sarah. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
And Romeo and Juliet by The Killers. Mm. Now, I know The Killers are a really good group, but I always associated Romeo and Juliet with Dire Straits.
Yeah. That's fine. That's a perfect version as well.
Yeah. So why did you pick this?
It's just one of those songs that I really like.
Yeah.
And I like how there's a bit of speaking through it. It's not, do you know, it uses that kind of voice, a speaking voice in it. I do think it's a beautiful song.
Is it The Killers who did Are You Human or Are We
Yes.
Dancers? Yes. Yeah, I love that one.
They're touring this year, actually, The Killers. I'm trying to get tickets.
Okay. Well, thank you again.
Thank you.
Sarah Kroger. Whitcliffe.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure, and we'll listen to your last choice.
Thank you.
Struck Romeo, seen the streets a serenade, laying everybody low with a love song that he made. You find the street light, he steps out of the shade, says something like, "You and me, babe, how about it?" Juliet says, "Hey, it's Romeo, you nearly gave me a heart attack." He's underneath the window, she's singing, "Hey, love, my boyfriend's back. You shouldn't come around here singing up at people like that. Anyway, what you gonna do about it?" Juliet, the dice was loaded from the start, and I bet that you exploded in my heart. And I forget, I forget. song. When you're gonna realize it was just that the time was wrong, Juliet. Come up on different streets, and both are streets of shame. Both dirty, both me. Yes, and the dream is just the same. Then I dream your dream for you, and now your dream is real. How can you look at me as if I were just another one of your deals? You can fall for chains of silver, you can fall for chains of gold, you can fall for pretty strangers and the promises they hold. You promised me everything, you promised me thick and thin, yeah. Now you just say, oh, Romeo, yeah. You know, I used to have a scene with him, Juliet. When we made love, you used to cry. I said, I love you like the stars above. I love you till I die. And there's a place for us in other movie songs. When you're gonna realize it was just that the time was wrong. Talk like the talk on the TV, and I can't do a love song like the way it's meant to be. I can't do everything, but I'll do anything for you. I can't do anything except be in love with you, and all I do is miss you in the way we used to be, and all I do is keep the beat. The band company, and all I do is kiss you through the bars of Orion. Juliet, I do the stars with you anytime. Juliet, when we made love, you used to cry. I said, I love you like the stars above. I love you till I die. And there's a place for us, you know. The movie song. When you're gonna realize it was just that the time was wrong. Struck Romeo, sing the streets a serenade, laying everybody low with a love song that he made. He finds a convenient street light, steps out of the shade, says something like, you and me, babe.